Yeah. Praise God. God is good, is he not? He is. God is great. Amen. Okay. Am I on, by the way, Carl, just in case? Yeah, I'm on. Great. Okay. We've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit, and we could do a series forever on the Holy Spirit, and we'd never get tired of it. There's so much. And I think the title today is Stir Up the Spirit. And yeah, we all need stirring up, don't we? We need that Spirit to be stirred up within us. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll start reading at verse 5. Well-known passage of Scripture. This is Paul writing to Timothy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. Heritage is an amazing thing, and I thank the Lord for my heritage through my parents and through the line, and it's just amazing. Yes, yeah, so Timothy had a heritage there. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. We don't like that line, but it's the truth. A lot of people are suffering today for the gospel. We're blessed, so blessed. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death, amen, and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. What you've heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. I have to move these things out of the way a bit. Yeah, give me a bit of room. Yeah, praise God. The Holy Spirit, where is it? Where is it? It's everywhere, but it lives in us, inside here. AD spoke last week, and I'm just giving a quote from what AD said last week. We live in the power of the Spirit. Do we? We live in the power of the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with him. It's a person. Not ahead of him, but in partnership with him. We need to live with him, not invite him into our lives now and again. Guilty? Our trajectory is to be more and more like him. Put off the old self and put on Christ. Yeah, praise God. What's your trajectory? I couldn't spell it. Goodness only knows what it looks like on my notes. But are you on a God trajectory? Are you on a path with God? Am I on a path with God? Everything I say today, if I talk about you, I'm talking about me as well. The old adage that if I point the finger, there's fingers coming back towards me. So I'm talking to me as I'm talking to you. God has given each of us, all of us, nobody missed out, gifts to use to the advancement of his kingdom. Now, I'm not talking going through the individual gifts that are mentioned in the Bible. I know Tom, in a few weeks' time, is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But you can look at passages in the Bible. You can look at 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. And you can find out about the gifts. But I'm sure Tom will say a lot more about that. But those gifts that we should hopefully know about, right, are ours to have and to operate in. And I'd like to ask you a question today. What are you and what am I bringing in to God's kingdom? What are we bringing into fruition? What is happening because of you and me? Are we enabling it? Are we allowing it to move? Because God wants us to bring in his kingdom. We are part of that, to bring in his kingdom, to demonstrate his power, to move mountains, to set people free, to change lives and situations. Yeah? Don't think that's somebody else's task. What is your task? What is your gifting? What does God want you to do? He's placed his Spirit within you. That Spirit is within you. It's the same Spirit within all of us. Whether you are doing mighty miracles all over the world and you can think of a named person you might want to do that, the Spirit is exactly the same power, and it wants to operate in all our lives. God doesn't give a thimbleful to somebody and a gallon to somebody else. It's what we want and what we desire. And what's your desire? If you only want a thimbleful, that's all. But if you want more of God, we keep saying that, then more of God is available. God wants more of you. That's why Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that's within you. And you know, I haven't got a big wooden spoon, but it would have been great to bring a big wooden spoon and stir things up, because sediment gets in the bottom of things, doesn't it? If you have something, you shake it or you stir it to get it moving. And you know, sediment gets into our lives. Sediment gets into our lives. And we need to stir our lives up. Stir our lives up. Shake ourselves. Get out of idleness. Get out of bondage. Get out of those things that have tied us down. And allow the Spirit of God to move through us. Each one of us. Do you know, some things are only going to happen. Some things are only going to be fulfilled because you and me bring them to fruition through the power of the Holy Spirit. Only as we live our lives, only as we operate in the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit, will things change. So often we just think and think, oh, nothing's happening. Nothing's going to change. That would never happen. That can never change. And that's a defeatist attitude, because Jesus said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Nothing's impossible with God. Those things that you've given up on, those things that you've said it'll never happen, those things where you say God isn't interested, is a total and utter lie. Those are one of those things that we need to put to death. Those negative thoughts, those thoughts that come out of the pit, we need to put them to death. It's not true. What's not happening today because you and me are silent? What's not happening because we're passive? And we're British, we're a bit like that. We're a bit, you know, passive people. And you know, it's time that we stirred ourselves up a little bit and said, hang on, we're not having this anymore. I don't want this in my life anymore. And if you've known bondage, and I've known bondage, a few weeks ago I wasn't here, but I know Mark was sharing his testimony. But Mark was in terrible bondage, but God set him free. And the enemy wants to tie us up in bondage. He wants to tie us up in fear. He wants to tie us up in doubt. He wants to tie us up and says, you're past it. Never say you're past it. I'm not past it. I'm not having it. I'm not past it. I'm not having it. No way am I having that. I know I'm getting older. I can feel the aches and pains, but I'm not having it. I'm saying to God, you have not finished with me yet. Right. Until I breathe my last breath, yes. You have not finished with me yet. Right. Yes. My older days are better than my former days. Yeah. And I've seen great things in my former days, but I haven't seen enough because I want to see more. I want to see those greater things. And a lot of you are younger than me, probably all of you are younger than me. Guys, make it your aim to say, Lord, I want to see great things of you in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I've seen great things, I want to see greater things than these. And guys, there's no time to waste. We can't say, well, I'll do that in a couple of years' time. There's no time to waste. Now, 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 today. Now is the day of salvation. I've just been so stirred when we've been doing this waiting upon God time of lost people. Hearing about lost people. And then you get this, four young guys were killed in a car accident in Heighton. I don't know if you read it. We don't know the circumstances. But when I think of those four lives and everybody saying on Facebook and these sort of things, oh, you know, rest in peace. I don't know those lads, but I'm not sure. But I would say they may not be resting in peace if they didn't know Jesus. I hope they did, and who only knows. But so many times you see this, don't you? Rest in peace. You'll be looking down on me, or you're reunited with your parents from the past. Guys, we don't know these circumstances, but in a lot of these cases, it's not true because people have never come into a living relationship with Jesus. And my heart is aching when I see these things for lost people. Our neighbors, our friends, our family even, who don't know Jesus. And it pains me that I'm going to go to heaven and they're not going to be there. Guys, it's up to us. How are they ever going to know unless we tell them? How are your friends going to know? How are my friends going to know unless I tell them about Jesus? And sometimes it's difficult because we know, you know, I'm not interested. I don't want to know. But we've just got to say, well, look, you need to know. They need to hear the gospel. Guys, we need to be telling people the gospel, whether they like it or not. We need to be saying, this is the way. This is the only way. Even if they call us nutters or they don't agree with us, this is the truth of God's word. And there's a way to do it. I've seen people doing it, and there's a wrong way to do it. But it's God's word, and who knows what can happen when we speak God's word. Yeah. Stir up the gift that is within you. Lord, stir me up, Lord. Stir me up. I'm not content. I want more. I want more. A song that we sing, fan into flame, a passion for your name. We've seen these forest fires, haven't we? Unbelievable. When fire starts, guys, and there's no way, the firemen have said, we just can't handle this. We can't control it. It's out of control. That's what I want. I want a fire in my life which is out of control. And I don't mean that doesn't mean you do stupid things. Things have got to be done right. But you know what I mean? What I'm saying out of control is I want it to be so much of God that it's doing things that I didn't expect. Things are happening and, you know, because God has fanned into flame something which has just gone beyond my understanding. And God wants to do that. He wants to fan into flame a passion for your name. Spirit of God, move in this place. Who wants God to move in this place? This place right here in St. Bede's. I want God to move in this place. Yeah. Move in this place. Lord, have your way in us. Have your way in us. Forgive me, Lord, when we block you. When we say no a little bit, but no more. See, our gifts matter. Your gifts matter. Your gift matters. That has impact. Your gift has an impact. Don't ever say, I have no impact. Yeah. Or I'm no good. Or I haven't got anything. It's a total lie of the enemy. Yeah. You've got gifts within you. God wants to give you more gifts. If you want them, it's up to you. David Kentendi was here a few weeks ago, and he says, we are created with a gift to shine. We're created with a gift to shine. You've got a gift. Does it shine out of you? An old children's song says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. Do you everyone know what a bushel is? An everyday expression would be, it's a bin. Hide it under a bin? No. We used to do the actions when we were in Sunday school. This was your little light. And then we used to say, hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Yeah? We all used to shout. Guys, the bin, the bushel, is no place for your gifts.
Amen.
Have you put your gifts in the bin? Is your light in the bin? Is your light switched off? Have the batteries gone? Does it need plugging in? There's nothing worse than you pick up your phone and it hasn't charged. And we all, oh, yeah? But we need a charge in our lives. We need a charge in our lives. I need to plug in to the Holy Spirit. I need to plug in to God. What are you saying to me, God? What do you want to do with me? This time of waiting upon God, it's not just a waste of time. If you spoke to the people outside, they say, what on earth are you doing? What are you waiting for, a bus? What's happening? No, we're waiting for Almighty God to speak into our lives, to challenge us as a church, as individuals, to move us forward. Mike didn't have the vision for this. Just, it was a nice idea. It'll fill in 21 days. We've got nothing better to do. Let's just wait on God. No. It's vitally important, guys. I want more of God in my life. Yes. Matthew 5:13 says, you are the salt of the earth. I'm the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, it's no longer good for anything. Except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. What's the point? What's the point of having the light and then just hiding it? Can't see where you're going. It's no use. Instead, they put it on a stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There's nothing wrong with good deeds. Sometimes in Christian circles, we get a bit, oh, you're doing good deeds. There's nothing wrong with good deeds. We need to do good deeds because people are not expecting good deeds. The person behind you in the supermarket, I'll pay for your shopping. I'll buy you a coffee. People are shocked. I didn't understand that. Or you can go before me in the queue and you've got a massive trolley. They come with two or three items. Yeah? I mean, nothing worse than that, is there? You've got two or three items. Someone goes in front of you. You know, he said, open until number four. And the person behind you with a massive trolley gets in before you. And you've only got a few items. You go, that's lovely, that. It's life. And we've all been in the other way around. But I say, come on, you go before me. That's a good deed. Why do we do them? Because they glorify our Father in heaven. I was at an Ascension Trust prayer retreat last week, was it, or the week before? And someone said this, and it really just, I wrote it down. It says this, we're living in a time and day of opportunity. Who believes that? Never been a better day of life, a day of opportunity. To see lives transformed, to see people saved and healed, to people can be given hope for today and tomorrow. Let's take the authority which God has given us. Jesus told his disciples to go. We need to go. And I know we're waiting at the moment. Yeah, we're not waiting forever because there's going to be a waiting and then there's going to be a bang. We go. And he quoted the Nike slogan, just do it. Stop pontificating, just do it. If God challenges you in this period or God puts something on your heart, just do it. Do it. Don't wait till you've got everything all together and it's all lovely. Just do what God is asking you to do. Remember in Acts chapter 3, Peter with the lame man. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have got, I'll give to you. The guy wanted a free lunch. He wasn't getting it. He got more than a free lunch, didn't he? But such as I have to you, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We need that power in our lives. We need that confidence in our lives to do that. I prayed yesterday with the parking guy in Ormskirk. He's struggling. He's really struggling with his back and he's limping around. And we often see him, he's leaning and I joke with him. We have a little joke with him. And I don't know how, but I just said, can I pray for you? And he said, oh yeah, please pray for me. And I did. Now, I don't know whether he was expecting anything. I don't know whether I was expecting anything. But that's not the point, is it? Just do it. Just do it. And who knows? I'm believing God's going to heal him. And we prayed for him before. But who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Just do it. Yeah. And you might look a fool at times, but a fool for Christ. Yeah, I've got no problem with that. I'm a fool anyway, so what's the difference? What have you got in your hand? What have you got in your hands? Peter had nothing, except he knew who God was. He knew the power of God that had been manifested in him through the Spirit. What have you got in your hands? What have you got to give? And we've all got different things to give. It may be money. If you've got money and God's stirring in your heart, give it. There's plenty of needs, but it might be more than that. I don't know. Whatever it is you've got it. Give it. Use it. Let's reach out and believe what God can do. Unless you try, it's never going to happen. And you're going to make mistakes. You're going to get things wrong. And I'm a classic example of that. You're going to get things wrong. Yeah? But don't worry about it. A little bit of embarrassment, you can cope with that. If you see somebody set free, if you see somebody healed, if you see somebody saved, we need to reach out. Let's use the gifts that we've been given. If we don't, if we keep them in the bucket, they're going to rot and just die and go nowhere. We need to use those gifts that God has given us. No gift is insignificant. Nobody here should be saying, I've got nothing, or my gift is only small, it's tiny, it's no good. All our gifts together make up the whole, and God wants to use them all to advance his kingdom, to transform our community. We need to stir up the gift, don't we? That's within us. I've been using this Lord's Prayer devotional. J. John wrote it. I don't know if anybody else has seen it and used it, but this was one of the quotes that came yesterday, and it's all about the Lord's Prayer, and it's, my kingdom come. When we pray, my kingdom come, it isn't just a request, it's a revolution. It means saying, Lord, overthrow anything in me that doesn't belong to you. Amen? Yeah. Who wants that? Yeah. It's about more than external change, it's about internal surrender. The kingdom of God is not about geography, it's about authority. Amen. It's not just about what God will do one day, it's about what God wants to do today through you. The kingdom comes when we forgive somebody who's hurt us. Very important. It comes when we feed the hungry, speak truth in love, or serve without applause. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is already among you. That means it's not waiting in the clouds. It's already active in the hearts of those who love him. Every act of kindness, every step of obedience, every word of encouragement is kingdom work. And while we long for the day when Christ returns and his reign is visible to us all, we don't sit and wait. We live and we work. We plant seeds. We shine light. We are kingdom bringers. Oh, I love it. So don't underestimate what God can do through one surrendered life, yours. You don't have to be powerful to bring the kingdom of God. You just have to be available. And then a prayer at the end. Let your kingdom come in my attitudes, in my actions, in my choices. Use me to reflect your heart and extend your rule wherever I go. I am yours. Be glorified in me. Amen. Let's just pray for a minute. We read in the scripture a number of times where the Spirit came when people had hands laid on them. And I don't know how you all feel about your gifting and the Holy Spirit in your life. But today, if you want hands laid upon you because you think that will help you, then that's what we're here for. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you're sick today or you've got issues in your life today that you want prayer for, then that we're here for, because we're family. Some of you might want to exercise that gift that God's put in your heart. Now's an opportunity in a friendly, safe place, because you feel God's given you a word for somebody, whatever it may be. Maybe something's been lying dormant and God is just stirring you to do something, to move somewhere, to impact. I don't know. Perhaps, Mike, if you could just come and play for us, and then just in this atmosphere of stirring up what's inside, you just ask the Lord, Lord, what are you stirring in me? What are you asking me to do? Where are you asking me to go? What are you asking to put to death in my life? What are you asking me to pick up? Where do you want my light to shine? Just as Mike plays and we're in this atmosphere, if you need to respond, then just come out. I need to respond. I want God to touch me. I'm not satisfied. I want a fresh anointing.